It's now time for a very Obsidian is holding up Xbox's first party division of Game Pass or Pass. The podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games to pass into a friend, which games to like wield a book in one hand, a sword in another, and just like throw some icicles at people. I don't know what that means. I am Corey. I'm joined by the envoy himself. Envoy?
I believe it's the envoy.
Envoy. Basher.
Good day, sirs. I hope I don't have a clicker face with flowers all over it.
Yeah, that was... Could you have... I could not make my character look normal.
No, you're touched by God, so you have to look like that.
Okay.
You can turn it off because they know how stupid it looks.
We got this... I don't know why this movie keeps coming up. I got strong Annihilation vibes. Like, off of that.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Like... Apparently, maybe that movie's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. This is Game Pass or Pass. We're not here to talk about Annihilation. We're here to talk about Avowed, Microsoft's newest first-party title release from Obsidian. But before that, did you know that you can send us what you think about Annihilation? 574-651-9256. You can text that number. You can call that number. You could give it to your friends, I guess. I don't know what they would do with that, but... Then they could call it, but they'd be very confused. And then we would be confused. Remember that person that called and, you know, they asked us to call them back?
Did you ever call them back?
No. I tried, man. But it just wouldn't.
Lost opportunity there.
I know. That's how I feel. So we're Avowed. This is kind of I don't say it's a big one, but this is one that was when Microsoft did their. What?
It should have been a big one.
Yeah, it's. When Microsoft did their sort of large sweeping purchases, and Obsidian was one of those purchases, it was sort of like, okay, when's that game coming out? Wasn't this like showed off in 2020? Let me take a look here. Maybe it was like 2021.
Research from the fly, guys.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was, you know, we still haven't got Fable. We still haven't got Everwild. We haven't gotten a lot of games from those people. So we did get, not Cyberpunk, wow. What's the name? Hellblade 2. That finally came out, and you know how we feel about that one. Not a huge fan of that one. So it's just an interesting one. This is one of those games that was announced forever ago, finally came out.
The funny thing is, like, not to interrupt you, but the funny thing is, PlayStation can do this all the time, get away with it.
Right. Most of the time, you'll at least get, you know, something of quality there. So it was announced 4 years ago, which would have been 2021. So... Showing off in 2021, and that was just like a concept trailer. It didn't even really have that much substance to it.
Looked better than the actual trailer.
Kind of. But yeah. Anyway,
definitely did.
Let's talk about, here are the details. Welcome to the Living Lands, a mysterious island filled with adventure and danger. Set in the fictional world of Eora that was first introduced to the players in the Pillars of Eternity franchise, about is this first place in, oh my gosh. Avowed is a first-person fantasy action RPG from the award-winning team at Obsidian Entertainment. You are the Envoy, a distant land... Wait, what? Oh my god, this is one of those where like it's not loading correctly, I feel like. I think we had this problem before. I'm going to go to the website. This is. Thank you, Microsoft, thank you. Can you save the unknown frontier and your soul from the forces threatening the team? That's all it says. Point is, Avowed is a first-person game. It's a first-person RPG. You're going to be in the Living Lands. It is akin to a Western RPG, something like Skyrim, but with a much smaller scale. It's looking to be completed anywhere from 40 to 50 hours and not 10 billion. All right. This is available on PC, Xbox Series X, and S. I have actually played all three versions. I'm assuming you're also playing on PC.
Yes.
Okay. Does feature cloud saves so you can hop back and forth between them. You've got Xbox achievements. And on Xbox Series X, you're going to get a 30 frames mode, a 40 frames mode, or a 60 frame mode. Series S, it is just, I believe, 30 frames. I couldn't get a 40 frames mode to pop up, but maybe there was one there. I just couldn't get it to pop up on my bedroom TV. So, Avowed. Let's talk about it.
Did you play Pillars of Eternity? I'm guessing no.
Yes. I played PoE 1. I reviewed Pillars of Eternity.
Okay, nice.
That's how long ago that was. But I believe I played Pillars of Eternity 2, but I don't think I finished it. I can't remember. Yeah, this is old. This is a long time ago. By the time the second one came out, I just wasn't reviewing stuff anymore. I believe they asked me to, and I was like, yeah, sure. And then they gave it to me. I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to. So,
I mean, I played both. I was a fan, especially PoE 2. I'm sorry, Pillars of Eternity 2. I'm looking forward to PoE 2 when it comes out. But I was a fan, and essentially hearing, I remember that first trailer. I went back and compared it after playing the game. So I watched the first trailer, and knowing what world it takes place in, that's pretty. Well, on top of that, who was making it? I mean, in name anyway. We know like teams change over the years, but in name, I'm thinking like this is going to be pretty darn good. This thing here, looking forward to it. High on the list. I'm not going to lie to you. This I'm a bit disappointed.
Ooh, all right, let's go. All right, let me adjust here. We haven't had one of these in a while. All right, hang on. Let me tighten up the microphone. Here we go. Got to sit up straight. Sir, you are wrong.
I figured you'd say that. this is definitely an RPG up your alley.
Yeah, because it's good.
Yeah, by that we mean the gameplay itself is pretty good. Like, yeah, it's one of those. I'm gonna say it right off the top. If your favorite RPG is like Morrowind or that first Deus Ex, sure, or stuff like that, you're not gonna have a greatest time here. But if your favorite RPG is Mass Effect 2, you're gonna have a fairly good time here.
I think that's my biggest surprise of this whole thing is like this game actually is very Mass Effect, Mass Effect. And I did not, I'm not even the biggest Mass Effect fan, but I just, they never really said that. I mean, like, why would you? Because, like, Mass Effect's dead. But it's just.
Also, why would you? Because it's a bait and switch. You showed me a Skyrim-type game, then you gave me more Mass Effect game. This is definitely sold off the heels of, off the spirit of a Oblivion Skyrim-esque game.
It's so, sure it yeah, is. But it's, the gameplay is pretty, like, the. The word I want to use here. I don't say the world design because it's not really, but like the open world feeling can be Skyrim-esque at times. And I guess it's tough. Like it depends what you go to Elder Scrolls for. And that's one of those other things, like you said, Morrowind, and it's like Morrowind and Skyrim are such different games. Like a lot of people like to compare them because they're the same thing or the same franchise, but like those games could not be any more different than each other. Skyrim is definitely one of the most watered down RPGs ever.
Absolutely. I mean, like that's where it gets, and I wouldn't call it watered down. Watered down is the absolute wrong word for that. I would call it streamlined, accessible. Because the role playing in that game is immense. Like you can spend you can spend hours just making potions, like sure, and calling whatever you want. Like the role playing in these games were pretty phenomenal in my opinion. I don't like when you start stripping things down. Like I love the simplification. So like, for example, like in Avowed, like let's start with the positives. Again, like the gameplay, and by the gameplay, I mean the battle system is pretty darn good. They finally got to a point where these games, these Skyrim likes, if you will, whatever you want to call it, they finally got to a point where the battle system doesn't suck. Right. Like for a long time, they just weren't good. They spent so much time crafting characters and story and environment and all this stuff. And then it's like, so how do we do the battle system? I don't know. Press right click to swing. I don't know. I don't care.
Right.
But now
that's always been the biggest thing. And I don't know that like has any. I'm going to say something that's going to sound hyperbolic, but I don't mean it. Like you said, the combat system of this, in terms of this style of RPG, I can't think of a better one, like legitimately. Because these games typically are just, they're very heavy. I would say the contact, but you know, like sort of the feeling of hitting things always kind of felt flat. And you just kind of didn't really have a lot of options. You always just kind of felt that, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to have this sword and I'm just going to keep swinging this sword. You know, like This isn't like the most deep RPG ever, don't get me wrong, but like I feel like I have options in this game, and there's a weight to it that is just like phenomenal. Like it feels good to hit things, which I can't even think of a Western RPG.
There's some lesser known ones for like I remember playing on Steam years ago for sure, but they're not better than this.
Right.
Like they have the kind of inklings of this, but it's not overall better than this. And to build off what you said a bit, other RPGs in this genre have, in my opinion, better options, but the problem is accessing those options suck.
Right.
Like if you want to build something, if you want to build a mage that does all these different spells, it takes too much time, effort, or it's just not built well. Whereas in Avowed, they figured it out. You have two loadouts and you can switch them off on the fly, and you can just turn from spellcaster, super mage to guy with a great sword at the drop of a hat. They really thought about it. It definitely feels like the opposite of what they usually do with these types of games. It's like, let's start with the combat system first and then work our way out.
Yeah, and the flexibility, like I think the biggest thing with that is like having two sets of weapons, being, you know, having two different loadouts. And like, I don't know what you had, but like I started with basically a sword and shield and then a bow. Like that was kind of my first one. But then I switched to like sword and book and then great sword, you know, kind of I wanted like a heavy and then like a magic and something quick kind of thing. And those are. It's fun. You know, it's really cool to be able to kind of switch between the fly, because there's also certain times where it's like I need maybe a little bit of, you know, aggro off of me or something like that. So I'll switch to a book and do a freezing, or it's just there's a lot of different options in terms of that. And like you said, you can do it at any time. For a long time, I'd never used a two-handed weapon. But then just recently, like I picked up a unique and it had a decent enough effect. I was like, I want to check that out kind of thing. And then so that's what I did. I was like, oh, this is actually a lot of fun. Like it actually changes considerably, like your methods of attack. And the biggest one for me is that I thought was kind of, it makes sense, but I never thought about it that way. So if you're having a sword and shield, your charge attack actually takes significantly longer than it does with a great sword, because a great sword, you obviously don't have two things in your hand. So therefore you can focus faster on your charge attack. And like, that was just a little small detail. It's like, oh, right. Like even though this thing is heavier, if I charge with it, like it's a significantly shorter charge, I don't get to lunge as far as I do with the sword, but I can do it quicker, which just, you know, it opens up a lot of possibilities that you just don't really think about. And like you said, it's so easy. It's so easy to just switch from one to another. And that's fun. That's the best way to say it. It's fun.
Yeah. And I knew you'd like it too, because it was for me a little Doom-esque, where it was kind of like, if you're playing a mage, everything you kill drops mage mana, if you will. So like it keeps like the combat really wants to keep you in the fight. It really wants to it really wants you to engage with the systems, and it's in all, and honestly solve most if not all problems with combat.
Yeah.
It's like you go out to the world and like it really feels like I don't know how to describe it. It feels like you're playing like an MMO, or not even like a real MMO, like one of those Destiny wannabe MMOs, and you have like your hub worlds, and basically you go to town, get your quest, go out hunting, come back with the quest, find another quest giver, go out hunting, get the item, come back with the quest, and that really felt what the loop to me for the game for a long period of time. And it's not a bad loop because the combat's so fun. But again, if you're looking for anything past that, I mean, that's where it started to lose me a bit. I guess the immersion part, because I can't even lie. It didn't lose me a bit. It lost me a whole lot, because as I was engaging with the battle system, I remember saying, okay, enough of this trying to level up outside of the field. I'm gonna go do some main quests. And here's the point where the game dropped the ball from me and kind of everything started to unravel. There's a quest early on, no spoilers, it's an offhanded quest. But it's a quest early on where you have to get into like a storage facility or storage room. There are, I think, two ways to get in. You can climb up the side of the building, drop in, and then come out the front door from the inside, or you can see a guard who's guarding the door out front. Now, my thing was, I accidentally, and this is to the game's credit, because if you find a quest item before you find a quest giver, it will complete the quest when you find that quest giver, which is phenomenal. Like, it sounds basic, but too many games like JRPGs don't do that.
Right.
So the fact that I dropped down here, found the item, and walked out the front door, I'm like, oh, look at me finding different ways to do things before I got there. But then I turned around, saw a guard at the door. I'm like, oh, you're a guard guarding this door, and I just walked out the front. I feel like you should say something to me. I just stole whatever's in here. He did nothing.
Right.
So I'm like, maybe like this is just how it. Maybe it's like, let me replay the slave and do it the other way because I want to fight things. Like, why not? So I do it the other way, and then he starts to fight me. And I'm like, why didn't you fight me before? Like, I start asking these random questions. I'm like, and then it just starts to hit me. I'm like, it starts to dawn on me. I'm like, I'm walking through the main town. I'm just like, none of you people are, it sounds stupid, but none of you people are real.
Like, right.
Because when I started to fight with that guard, here's where I'm just completely just kind of like the windows came crashing down. I'm in a broad day, open brawl with this man. I turn him to literal dust. Not a single guard shows up. Not a single person shows up. Not a single other guard shows up. Like, nothing happens. I'm just like, I don't know. For me, I'm just like, that's where it started to fall apart for me. Just,
yeah, I mean, it's just not that kind of game. I get what you're saying. I mean, yeah, because it's not to say it's not.
But it's like broad daylight with other people and guards around. You know, like, it's not in the middle of the woods or something. It's literally like, I just thought, like, if I did that in New Vegas, any faction around is going to like gun me down. It's like, what are you doing committing broad day murder?
I say this to be kind of like, you know, kind of a jerk, but it's kind of like, okay, who cares? Like, yeah, like, you can do that in Skyrim, you can do that in Fallout and all that, but like, what typically happens is some people will just, okay, oop, didn't mean to do that, I'll reload, or you just end up killing everything all the time, you know? Like, so yes, you can play it that way, but like,
or you die or you go to jail. I mean, it depends on what you're,
sure,
what game you're,
but
playing,
then
on.
you just go back and do the same thing. Like, I get
if you
what
want
you're
to,
saying,
I agree,
but
if you want to, I agree.
Is that why you play Fallout? Is that why you
absolutely
play? Yeah, see, that's the kind Fallout of stuff is, for me, that is just like, dude, I could care less. Like, I could care less at the fact that I can go and kill anyone at any point. Like, it's funny.
Fallout's a bad shooter. Of course I play it for the story, for the immersive, for the immersive aspects. Like, if you're playing for the shooting, you're lying to yourself. You're playing for the immersive world.
Maybe that's why I don't like that game. Like, I don't know. I liked Fallout 3
probably
quite a bit. I liked the... So, I want to touch on a couple things. I think you can get stuck in a almost open world, modern open world game with this, because it sort of teaches you to play it that way. And like what you said was, you kind of, you get stuck in that loop of go get a quest, turn it in, go get a quest, turn it in. And like, I'm with you. I don't think that the first area is the strongest area, and we'll get to some of my issues with the game in a minute. But what I'll say is that it does give you the ability to, like, you don't have to do that. Like, when I got to the second area, I didn't even go to the main town. I just started walking, and I'm finding all this different stuff. And like you said, what's smart,
I do like that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's smart about it is that I stumbled into this cave area and I ended up fighting like a bounty guy, and it was a pretty crazy fight. And I was like, huh, that's kind of weird. Like, I was like, I wonder what that was for, kind of thing. And then I get to town, and then all of a sudden the bounty, and she's like, oh, you already did that. Cool. So like, I got to turn it in. And so That's kind of the way that I'm playing it, is where I'm just not even like, I'm not going and looking for quests. I'm just in the world trying to do stuff. And that's, it gives you that sort of Skyrim or Fallout feeling. And that's, those are the games that always, those are the types of things in those games that kept me playing them. It was like, you know what? I'm just going to pick a direction and go. Like, I don't really care about anything. And specifically in those games, it's like, What drove me nuts about them that I love in this game is a lot of times you just don't find anything useful. Like you go through out there and you go through this giant town. I remember in Skyrim, the first time I found like the druid, like underworld thing, and where like, there's just like dozens and dozens of caverns of all these things. And I go down, I'm like, whoa, like that's crazy. Like, I'm just going to go around here and search for stuff. I just played that for like 6 hours, never found anything worthwhile. Like, not even kidding.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, it's cool that I found this, but for what reason? And then
it's that Zelda issue. Like, I can go over there, but what's over there?
Right. Whereas this, because it's smaller and handcrafted, like, yes, not every time, you're not going to find a weapon or a ring or something every time, but you might find crafting materials that you actually use. So it's got that feeling of where I can go anywhere and at least I feel like I'm making progress, which I cannot think of a Western RPG that has that hook for me of where I don't want to say I can play it however I want, because it's not quite that open, because eventually you do have to go to town and you do have to turn in those quests, but you still have to do that in stuff like Skyrim and Fallout as well. It's just a different beast in that matter. So I'm with you in that could be a flaw, but you don't have to play it that way. And that's honestly where I'm having the most fun. It's just like, we'll talk about performance stuff like that, but it also, this game is gorgeous. Like, anytime you go somewhere in this game, you're going to find something that looks cool, whether it's something that you have, whether it's some armor, whether it's enemies, whether it's, you know, magic, something like that. And that is a huge factor for me too. And it's not just because it's on UE5, but the art is just, I'm really enjoying the art of the game quite a bit.
I would agree. I'm with you on there. I do think it looks beautiful. I think everything looks beautiful except for the people.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, like their faces are a little.
The people are awful looking. They're terrible, especially when they're talking. Like, the it's god awful. Like, I'm talking Mass Effect Andromeda levels bad. Right. I hate it. But everything else, though, literally everything else is gorgeous. Like, the vistas are just immaculate. Like, they knew you were going to wander around a lot, and they put a lot of effort into making it look good where you wander. And I'm a big fan of that as well. Like, just walking. I mean, again, that's how I start off playing the game, was wandering around. And you're absolutely right in terms of where you should wander around, and wander around a lot, because when you find things, they are usually, if not always, needed for your kit. Because one thing I did notice, this could be real hit and miss with people. It was a miss for me, is how the difficulty works, because I had to go back and look up the tutorial and what was going on. But this level, like, is the enemies don't scale to your number level.
Right.
It turns out they scale to your weapon level, your equipment level. So I was having a lot of tough battles which is fine. I mean, I went in there looking for a tough battle, but also, what I like to do in these type of games is pick a tough fight and see if I could work around that tough fight, if I could roll, if I could souls my way through it, essentially, you know? Mm-hmm. But you really can't, because they kind of lock that fight out of your purview. You can't, you won't be able to win that fight until you upgrade that weapon, point blank period. So, like, for a lot of people, that may not be an issue, because you're already doing a crafting system, or you're already upgrading your weapons a lot, which you need to be doing. But if you're just kind of exploring and you hit a wall, just know that wall is there on purpose, and it's not going to be moved until you upgrade your current weaponry, your current level of weaponry.
Yeah, there's I ran into that in the first area too. And honestly, once you get out of that first area, it's not nearly as restrictive, but you can sort of fall into that. Like, it also doesn't tell you this is a game where you need to break stuff down. like anything you get, the reason you're finding your commons is because you need to break that stuff down to get your, you know, your materials and all that. And so like once you figure that out, that grind pretty much disappears. And that's, I think a lot of people will fall into that and be like, I'm getting my butt kicked and I don't know why and et cetera. But I don't know, maybe not. Maybe people are smarter than we think they are. But at the same time,
I mean, I think so. I hope so. Smarter than me anyway.
I mean, for me, like it took me a little while to figure that out because I don't remember the companion's name on top of my head right now. I don't remember why. But Garrus, basically. Garrus. I went into an area and he like literally just yelled at me. He's just like, you need better armor. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, I just left that area. What I will say is I think you could, you know, not Skyrim, but you know, souls your way through it. But, I don't think you could, I don't think you could without magic. Magic is the thing, because if you burn them or poison them or something like that, that seems to be sort of a, I don't say a cheat code, but like that seems to be a way to constantly tick down health. But you could, but there's no reason to. Like, there's absolutely no reason to, like, I don't think you're going to get much from it, you know, like you would you with the Souls game.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so it's not the best onboarding in terms of those systems and stuff. I will give you that. But what else did you say? There's something else that was going to come out and I forgot already.
That's the thing. I don't think it's bad. I just be aware of that because, you know, like, it's because in Elder Scrolls specific games, things will like scale to you. Like this is not, and I can see people thinking that might happen. It's like, no, when your companion says, upgrade your gear.
Right. Like, and that's what I was going to say. But I also ran into a thing where basically once I'm playing this to where I'm doing everything that I can possibly find on the map before I go to a new area. And so like, by the time I was like done with the first area, it wasn't difficult anymore. Like I was just walking up to stuff and just destroying it. So it's almost more like Diablo sort of figured this out, but those original Diablo games didn't, in that like the world level did not level up with you. If that makes sense. When you go into a new area, it's more Borderlands than anything. When you go into a new area, either you are ready to fight them or you are not. There is not a situation where, if I go back to the first area, the game's going to scale with me. And that's one of those like divisive things where some people really hate that and some people really like it. I don't know where I stand on that because if you have the thing where everything levels up with you, nothing ever feels different. Like it's always a grind. Like there's never a moment to where you're just like destroying stuff, but there's also never a moment like sometimes your fights might be, you know, tight or you might barely get out of it alive. But I'm actually more of a fan of like, I want to kind of stumble into something where maybe I'm not supposed to be here or maybe I even am supposed to be here, but the game is deliberately being more difficult. And maybe if I go back and I'm doing something like I won't say it's not fun, but like walking through stuff isn't the most fun either. But I think I would rather have that than Oblivion. Like Oblivion was one that really drove me nuts because it did level up with you and that game kind of got lopsided near the end. Like you could just get worked. Like, so I don't, like you said, I don't know if it's a flaw or not, but it speaks more to me, I guess.
You know, I agree with that. It's definitely, and that's why I brought it up because it's going to work for certain people.
Right.
For me, it's nearly there. Like this is not one of the aspects of the game that I hate. This is one of the ones I would like it tweaked a bit or like for me, I would have rather, if it's going to be harder, the reason for why it's hard matters to me. It's like, so to essentially lock me out of that fight, I'm like, well, that sucks. I mean, because I'm hitting all my perfect dodges, my perfect parries. I'm playing perfect game right now. I would like to kind of feel like my little souls were war from beating this guy, but I'm doing one damage a hit because I'm locked out of that his fighting level, which so like this again, that's not a bad thing. It's my criticism for me personally for how I like to play these games.
Yeah, it's I wonder how other people will feel about that. I think that's gonna upset a lot of people. But then my question also is, and what does a difficulty slider do?
I think it just adds more damage.
I know it's not health because that was something that I read. I guess it could be. It was something I was just reading a NeoGAF thread or something like that. And somebody said like, you know, like,
I thought it gives them more health.
Apparently there was a lot of people that hopped in. It's like, no, like, you clearly haven't played the game, because that's not what happened. So maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I'm gonna Google it while we're talking here. So
also, you can't say clearly haven't played the game, because if they take more damage, it could look like they have more health.
Correct.
you can be wrong and play the game still.
Correct. Yeah. So you take more damage. It seems to be that's the biggest
okay.
one, is you just take more damage. So.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's tough. This is gonna be the best game to come out that I don't like.
For me, really, what it is, we talked about the combat, but the skill trees is another one that I think is gonna piss some people off. I'm curious how you feel about it.
It's simple. It's simplified, rather, and that's not a bad thing in general. Like, again, I don't think a simplified version of this game as it is inherently terrible. Like, I think this is for a large audience of people who want to play these games. But again, if you're going in here thinking you're going to build a character or something, then, like, you may be disappointed. Like, I can't say I was disappointed with the skill tree, but at the same time, honestly, modern day video games, it was expected. I mean, like the Outer Worlds, another simple skill tree. Like, they don't put really too much effort into that anymore.
And is it because I'm old now? I don't know. I guess I just prefer that. Like, I don't. Because, okay, this is the Diablo 3 argument, where when Diablo 3 came out, it was, oh my god, I can't put my attribute points where I want them to. And it's like, yeah, that's a very true thing. But if you care about that, let's not pretend you don't have something open on your second window telling you exactly where to spend those points. Like, there becomes a lore to those games, to where it's like, okay, if you want this build, you have to follow this guide, you know? And it's like, so at that point, like, is it really any different? Because you're like, somebody did the work for you, essentially, and that's what you're doing. And where I always hit walls with Diablo 2 and 4 in this instance, whereas I just do whatever I want. I do not follow guides. And eventually you hit a wall in those games and you're like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And then you go and look at a guide. It's like, oh, I didn't even think about this synergy. Like, I didn't even think about using these two skills or these four skills or whatever together. And it's, that flexibility is really good. And that's awesome that it exists. However, if I have to follow a guide to make your skills work, something is also wrong. So in this instance, this is more simplified, and none of the skills drastically change how you play the game in terms of, like, oh, all of a sudden now I'm a completely different character. Like you said, it's simple, but they're more, you know, I don't want to say quick hits, but that's not what I want to say. Like, so which skills did you take? Like, I have the shout and I have the dash, basically, right now, the shield dash.
Well, that's the thing. Luckily, because it only costs about 100 gold to respec every time, I could switch my skills up all the time.
Yeah.
Just cause.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, again, that's a good and bad thing. Like, this is going to be a very divisive RPG. Like, super divisive, because it's like you said, like, I don't know if it's because you're old, I don't know if it's because I'm old, but I hear what you're saying, because I'm 40 years old, I work two jobs, I have better things to do. I don't have time to sit here and look up a guide for how to play the game.
Right.
I get that. Like, I completely understand that from every perspective. So, like, no hate on my end. But at the same time, I think this game is its own worst enemy. Like, because only because it didn't get ahead of how simplified this game actually is.
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, they said this is exactly built the same way that they build the Outer Worlds, and the Outer Worlds is exactly that. Like,
okay, well, I didn't know that. So yeah. In that case, I agree. So in that case, you can't play this game and expect Skyrim then. Not Skyrim either. Skyrim's even just as simplified. You can't play this game and expect Morrowind or Deus Ex or whatever back in the day. Like, this is, if they said this is more akin of Outer Wilds, then this is essentially Outer Wilds.
Yeah, and that's Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, excuse me.
That's where this game's biggest enemy is going to be, is because it just depends what story you heard. Like, the story of them building their own Skyrim, I don't even know if they said that or not. They very well could have. I'm going to look it up while we're talking about it. But, like, if you heard that and you didn't hear, and maybe you've never even played The Outer Worlds, you have no idea what The Outer Worlds is, and you didn't play that game, you didn't know what that game was built, and you're expecting a Skyrim, yeah, you're going to be very disappointed. Like, this is just not that game.
I think so.
At all.
I think so.
It's just, yeah, like, it is just not that at all.
I didn't read too much pre-release, so I'm thinking like, oh, it's from Obsidian, published by Bethesda, right? So it's like, okay, well, I'm getting from the quote-unquote makers of New Vegas, let's go. And it's like, this is pretty simplified, guys. I don't know what you were going for, but this is not what I heard.
Yeah, let's talk about like the story and sort of that. That's where the Mass Effect for me is. Now, we've talked about this many times, and that illusion of choice.
Yes,
I don't. This is not as deep as Mass Effect, which Mass Effect isn't that deep to begin with.
Sorry, pretty shallow.
Right. So
in a good way, because I like Mass Effect.
Right. And it's more choose your own adventure than, you know, your choices matter. You know, that was what they build that, you know, entire franchise.
That's on. A good way to put it.
Yeah. This is choose your own adventure, but what's the word I want to use? Everyone's going to probably end up near the same ending. Like, it has far less branching paths. But what I like about it is that while you can, quote, make choices, really the only thing that changes is the dialogue. But every once in a while, something kind of funny happens or something kind of weird happens. But what that does is it does give them the ability to write better things, because you don't have to account for a ton of different things. And I'll say the writing for me actually mostly works. I was actually kind of surprised, because as somebody who only played PoE 1, and I didn't really play PoE 2, or sorry, Pillars of Eternity. It's not Path of Exile, sorry. The smart aleck comments are the ones I typically go for. I don't know which ones you go for, but I'm always a little bit like, oh, okay, I didn't expect that. Like, for instance, one time I was playing it and I don't think it's really spoilers, but basically, like, these bandits came up to me and they're just like, hey, give me your stuff. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to fight you. And then like two of them just kind of looked at it. He's like, well, I'm not fighting him. And they just ran away and left the other guy. Like, when I picked that option to say, hey, I want to fight, the other two were like, nope, not doing it. Like,
yeah.
And so
I'm a big fan of that.
Didn't expect that. You know, like, I don't, and not every single time it's going to do that, but there are little moments like that to where you just don't expect them. And the writing is, you know, again, it's, if you liked PoE or Pillars of Eternity, I think you're going to like this. Like, it's not stupid lore heavy. I will say that little like encyclopedia thing you can do at any time, press X and it'll pull up like,
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. Like a lore finder basically. That's great. I'm a huge fan of that thing. Cause they'll say something and they try to do a pretty good job of give you some context, but like sometimes you're just going to miss it, you know? So the fact that you can press that button at any time and kind of look through histories and stuff is pretty nice. As somebody who like, lore for me is a very difficult thing to follow, because I typically don't fall into things or franchises that, you know, have tons and tons of lore. Like Star Wars is probably the one I got into most. And then when they started just doing all these things, like, no, I'm good. I don't need 10,000 stories in Star Wars. So
I'm right there with you. And I got to say, side note, If you're listening to this show and you know anything, and you know anything about Warhammer, please let me know if I need to go into Warhammer. Like, that's like I am falling down a rabbit hole right now. But I do agree with you on one side but not the other, I guess, because I'm a big fan of Avowed's, how to describe, like, the story and the setting. But I, it even like the it sounds ridiculous, but the outcome of dialogue, I'm a fan of. But the dialogue itself, and then on top of that, the voice acting, I really can't stand. Like I don't like it at all. Like the fake Garrus bothers me too. So like when I'm playing Avowed, it wants me to believe I'm in this world where the god touched me in weird places. Now I got flowers on my face. but everyone's talking like you and I are talking right now. You know, the extent of language, if you will, isn't otherworldly. Doesn't feel crafted. It's just people talking, saying snide comments. I'm the god touched, but everywhere I go, people talk down to me. Like, it's weird. Like, they're always snide. They're always like sassy. It's that kind of video game writing that's prevalent across everything. I'm just like, can you take the time to not to directly compare it, but like Dragon Age Origins, like shit was like Dragon Age Origins. Things were, they spoke with some loftiness to it. And then when characters interacted, they interacted with each other. Like, this still has very much the same old Bethesda engine issues. I'm not saying, I don't know what engine this use, so why is it still directed like a Bethesda game? It sucks. I hate it. The fact that when you see two people, like you and two other people are involved in the conversation, the two other NPCs are having a disagreement, instead of turning to each other and having a disagreement, actually acting it out, they stand there with their hips, knees, shoulders pointed at you, the camera, both of them, and they just turn their head 45 degrees to the left and right and start yelling, quote unquote, yelling at each other. It's awful. It's terrible. Like, I'm genuinely over it. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, Starfield kind of broke me with this.
That's fair. Yeah.
So what the outcome of my, like, the fact that you're giving me that illusion of choice, thumbs up. But you lose me like two steps back because the direction is god awful. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't really think of it that way.
I'm sorry, it's a me thing.
No, like, I've definitely
Skyrim broke me. I can't stand it anymore.
I've definitely noticed, like, it's something that, and I really, it's just because it's become so common, you know, like, because it's all in engine and because it's all in world and all that stuff, you know, there's not cutscenes and stuff like that. So how do you do that? And I think Fallout 4 tried it, didn't it? Like, didn't Fallout 4 basically stop doing that?
Oh yeah.
But it basically just like pulled out the camera and just sort of like did like a saw, like 360 spin sometimes. And it's like, okay, that doesn't really help either.
Doesn't do anything.
Right.
No, but you're in a locked in scene where the player can't move. So direct the scene. Like, have the characters act out what they're saying. Turn the body, you know, flail some arms. I don't know.
But I guess I'm wondering if there's just a that might just be, I don't see, it's a technical limitation, but it's one of those things where it might just not be like, it sounds simple, but maybe they just can't do it.
Right.
But it's, I didn't play Witcher 3 that much. What does Witcher 3 do? I'm just curious more than anything.
Witcher 3 does not do that stage play type of thing.
And if I remember, it's typically like, man, it's been a while. I'm going to look up some gameplay, but I'm wondering, yeah, I'm kind of with you of like, I wonder what the breakdown is. Like, is it an engine thing? Is it just like, because,
but it can't be an engine thing because it's UE5.
I mean more of it, like, so a lot of times I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, this could be wrong, I'm assuming like in Skyrim and Bethesda games, that's got to be some type of plugin or tool, right? Like,
right, to where, exactly,
like, it, it, yep, you know, it, it, it zooms in on their face and it does these things and
exactly
all that. And
right.
I wonder if that just doesn't exist yet. Like for like physics. Physics was one of those things that you never designed your own physics system. Every once in a while, a developer would try to do their own physics system. But you would use an off-the-shelf one. You know, you use plugins, you use tools, and and maybe that just doesn't exist yet, and this is all they know how to do. And it's like, well, for us to do that, like you're talking a tech debt of maybe like 2 to 3 years, and they just don't have it.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I think that's exactly it.
But and it's I don't want to say it didn't bother me, but I will say the presentation, like the lip syncing, the characters, like.
Yeah,
the look doesn't bother me, but what I will say is that it's a step back. Like even the lip syncing can sometimes break, and sometimes it just doesn't look that great. But it's I don't want to say it broke me in Skyrim or Starfield because that game broke me for several reasons. I'm just kind of watching Witcher 3 here, and it's like, no, like they're full on doing, you know, everything is animated and everything, everyone has their sort of, you know, and it's subtle.
Yeah,
it's subtle. Like it's not
have, like shot reverse shot sometimes.
Yeah. Like it's not like choreographed, you know, like a Hellblade or anything like that, but there is some, but see like this right here is kind of doing the same exact thing, just kind of camera switching back and forth. So I think what it might be is it's just that there's none of it. Like there's absolutely none of like, of
I think you're right. Yeah,
choreographed anything. It's just nope. Zoom in. Maybe you'll get a wide shot if there's more than one character, but their arms are going to be crossed. They're just going to be kind of standing there, like.
Yeah, it hit me when one of the early characters you meet, I forgot her name or her role, but the girl with the mask, she's like an inquisitor or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like her introduction is cool. Like the
like the doors open,
camera starts to the feet, doors swing open, so the camera starts to the feet, comes like slowly comes up. I'm like, who's this cool chick? Okay, and then she stands at attention, arms by her side, turns fully like a military person, and stands directly at the camera and does not move unless her neck moves. I'm like, oh come on, like this. I thought you were going to do a thing here, like, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and it's what I. It bothered me in Starfield, but it doesn't bother me here, and I don't know why. That's just interesting.
I think the aesthetic here is a lot better.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Like, yeah.
For me, like, as much as it bothered me in this, like, I didn't notice it as much as I did in Starfield, because Starfield looks terrible. This still looks great.
Right. Yeah, so, and that's, well, we've been talking about, we'll try to wrap it up here. So, the final piece is, visually, this game is stunning. Like it really is. Now that comes out the caveat, but it's for me, the fluidity and sort of the way that things, some people have said they've had like game breaking bugs. I have not, like I have not really ran into any.
I got a lot of bugs, not game breaking.
Yeah. I don't think I've got like every once in a while, like I'll clip through something or like, you know, I think I can get on this ledge and I can't. And then like, I get kind of stuck or something, you know, like something like that, but like nothing crazy, but like the fluidity of it and the fact that it runs on Unreal, like there's just a fluidity to it that is you just, it feels good to play, you know, and that's not something I can say about Fallout and Skyrim and
I agree. I completely agree.
Even Mass Effect. Like I think Mass Effect got there by the end. Like Mass Effect 3 felt pretty good to play, but it still didn't feel like a Dead Space or a Gears of War, you know?
I agree.
Like, and this is fun to play. It feels good to play. And that's kind of the biggest thing. But what I will say is like, this is a heavy game. Like you're going to need some serious hardware to get what you want out of it in a bad way. Like, so it is extremely GPU heavy as most Unreal titles are. But even like, you know, even using DLSS or even like lowering the quality settings doesn't get you a lot more performance. UE5 is just heavy and it shows here. So, and I think you said you were having a ton of problems with like frame rates.
I have some. Yeah. Like the frame was terrible for me and like, it's just unnecessary. Like it's just, I take that back. I can't say it's unnecessary because this game actually looks the part. I just wish it was less bloated for machines that I can't even say machines that are
like you don't have a base rig. You have a 4070 Ti, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like I should be able to run it fine, you know, right. Like I'm not expecting 120, 600 frames, but at least give me my solid 60.
Yeah, basically,
it's like, nah, we're not doing that.
Where I'm at, I'm running a 4090, and like there's definitely seems to be a past 60 frames problem. Once you get past 60 frames, like you start getting some hitching, you start getting some, you know, shader stutter. But like, what's strange is that if you cap it at 60, it just runs a lot better. Like, and it's like some of the hitching disappears and it's okay. Kind of strange. Like that's what I ended up doing. Cause originally I was capping it at 90 because even on like medium settings, I could not get a stable 120 no matter what I did.
That's insane to me.
Right. And it's, I was kind of hovering between like 80 and 100 and every once in a while I'd go like 110, but it's just like, getting to that 60 doesn't seem to be nearly as hard, but then once you get there, anything past that, good luck. And I don't know, maybe that's just a console optimization thing. Maybe that's what they optimized for. And they're like, past that, like, you know, Godspeed. Like if you got the hardware, we're going to uncap it for you, but we're not promising anything. And that's unfortunate. But yeah, I highly recommend if you're on PC, you're going to be like, gross, cap it at 60.
I might try that actually.
Yeah, and it still feels pretty good. And honestly, like it shouldn't, but it does feel better because you're not getting that fluctuation and that hitching.
Right.
So even though like 90 or 100 frames, it's more fluid, it doesn't feel that way. And that's kind of the biggest thing of it. And that's the first time I've used a frame rate cap that's 60 in a long time. But no, like you said, I have a 4090. I should not be having as many problems as I do.
I'm sorry.
Give me a break. Like, no, not at all. So what I will say, and this might be an unreal thing too, 4K is just a heavy, heavy thing in UE5. Yeah. Like it is significantly heavier. On my desktop, I've got a 4080 and like runs significantly better. And I'm only at 1440p on my desktop and like significantly better. And that's just like Unreal Engine 5 is a huge engine, and it's one of those things where almost every game that's built on it tends to be like bro, like I've got top of the line hardware here and I am struggling, like what is happening,
right?
And
that's
also just a sign of the times though too, like we're not getting those GPU bumps like we used to. And I mean, if you've been following the 50 series, it's like it's kind of a joke.
I feel bad for bought one of those,
right? And it's like, as somebody who's looking at that, and I was like, no, I'm going with the 4090. Like the difference is like, oh, if you want one more frames, well, good. You get 200 more watts. And it's like, this GPU can pull 600 watts. Are you kidding me? Like that's what, that should not be a thing. Like that should not be how I get more frames, you know? Like, so I think of like Remnant 2 is one of the more optimized UE5 games, I feel like, but even that game was heavy.
I didn't have a lot of problems with that one.
Yeah, like it.
I don't remember anyway.
Yeah, it was. I remember, you know, playing it. Like, it's not nearly as hitchy as this. But again, like once you got past 60 frames, it just seemed like it just had a lot more trouble just being.
Yeah.
You know, just staying there, and it's just kind of weird. So I will say the Series X version pretty decent actually. This is using Lumen and Nanite. Which are hardware based on the PC, but then on the Xbox side, I believe it's using hardware Nanite and software Lumen. So you're getting the full suite here. The 60 frames, I believe, makes them both software, so it's not nearly as it's not as pretty, I guess you could say. But even then, it still looks pretty good. It's the Series S version is a 30 frames version. It, for what it is, for a $300 piece of hardware, it's dumb how good it looks. But you're gonna see, you know, obvious drawbacks. But again, for $300 piece of hardware, it's kind of nuts. So, but yeah, let's wrap up here. We've said a lot, you know, questing, we didn't talk too much about questing, but I think the main takeaway of that is that it's what you expect. But you can play it one or two different ways. Like, you know, you can fall into that sort of, I'm just kind of, you know, playing fetch here over and over, but it also gives you the opportunity, like, just go do your thing. You know, and then when you
Then
when you get back to town, if you happen to, you know, already have that quest done, the game is really smart about just letting you turn it in. You don't really have to do anything. But that's going to be its biggest flaw for me is just sort of that the questing system. You can get kind of stuck in it. And we talked about the skill tree a little bit. I think another flaw of it that I want to point out is like the leveling can be slow. And so you get like those first five or six levels really quickly. And a lot of the skills are sort of stuck behind higher levels, and it can take a while to get there. And that's something that
you get most of your XP through main questing.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's the thing. Like, if you want to level up quicker, you got to do the main quest.
Right, but then you could also fall into that thing where you're leveling up too quick. Then, like, and then you just kind of walk through everything. So,
which wouldn't matter because you still need the equipment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that's fair.
Unless
that's fair.
Yeah. That depends.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I guess I'm just playing it to where typically I'm always upgrading my stuff when I can. So that's
right.
Interesting. But and the one other thing that drives me nuts. Why can I not set certain skills and weapons to like a quick wheel? Like, you've got those two slots for your weapons. It's like, dude, why can I not like have a quick equip on like a bow? Like, why?
that's a good thing. I'm surprised they don't have that considering it's so combat heavy.
Yeah, like I've gotten over it, but I think my biggest thing is I'm someone who always played Skyrim as basically a magic and bow and arrow person.
That's so right. Yeah.
And so like it was so easy to switch between those, but whenever like if I needed something, if I needed to have a sword and shield or something, there's a quick menu that you could kind of add stuff to it. And it's like, here it would be really nice if every once in a while you just get to an area that's like, this is clearly designed for a bow and arrow. Like, okay,
right.
I got to go into my thing. I've got to take off my stuff. I've got to put a bow and arrow there. Like, and what I will say, some of the most fun bow and arrow combat ever, like there's a weight to it that is just really fun. And when you hold down the trigger and you're sort of charging it, like it's got some good animations. It feels good. You feel powerful. But I would use it a lot more if I could just quick equip it. Like I'm having a far better time using just two sets of weapons that are similar and bows and arrows. And maybe it'll get better once I just haven't found a really good, you know, like unique bow or anything. Have you?
I have not.
Yeah, no. I haven't either.
It's all magic and cool swords.
I found some decent guns. But the guns,
I'm not a gun guy in general.
Yeah.
for this kind of game. I don't know.
They work. I think having a magic book in one hand and a pistol in the other actually works moderately well. But for me, I don't want to say it breaks immersion. It's just not how I want to play it. I don't want a gun.
No, and, yeah. Right. I mean, like you're in like this wonderful magical world. Why is there a gun? I'm okay with that.
It's kind of strange.
And you're right with about the bow and arrows. I think the best thing he did about the bow and arrows, which may go against what I've said earlier, is there are no arrows.
Right.
Like you don't have to worry about arrows. But I mean, that works for this game specifically, though. You know, like because it's like, it just wants you to stay in the fight. It's very Doom-esque in that sense. It's like, it doesn't want you to leave the fight. It wants you to always be killing things. And you know what? I'm here for it. That's fine.
Yeah. It's, man, like if you've got good sound, like this is, the combat is so satisfying. Like when you hit, like when you do your little, I don't know what you would call it. It's basically like, it's kind of like a glory kill. I got Doom on the brain now. When you get the bar all the way up, the, you know, the stagger bar.
Yeah. The sun bar.
The way you just, when you hit it, just like it's almost God of War-esque of just like you feel it and it's satisfying. It is really satisfying. So it's, I don't know. It is not a 10 out of 10, but I am enjoying my time with it quite a bit, which like you said, like I didn't really know what to expect. I had been following it, but not following it super close. When I heard it was, you know, Outer Worlds, but sort of fantasy like that, that fits me more. The aesthetic of fantasy fits me more than an Outer Worlds. And I liked Outer Worlds. I think Outer Worlds had some good stuff in it. It was a solid 8 for me. You know, like I could have done some stuff better, but I'm enjoying this a lot more than that game.
Yeah. And, I can see why, honestly, like it's one of those games where prettiness matters. Like look and feel matters.
Because of its size, it's able to do that because it's not trying to be like this super large open world. Like then again, like maybe let me rephrase that because as much as I don't like the Assassin's Creed games, those games do keep a level of quality in terms of like animation, fluidity, and sort of the, what you expect from some of these games in a world that is absolutely massive. However, I don't want to play that game. But because it is small, it's smaller and more focused, they can do that. Like they're like, they just have more time and there's just more ability to focus on those areas. And that's, I think you and I have had this conversation many times of like, those are the type of experiences that I like. Like when open world was a thing and it was new, it was like the vastness of it was cool. Like when Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out, I was like, whoa, like this is crazy.
Right. Whoa.
Yeah. When Crackdown 3 or Crackdown came out, like, whoa, this is cool. But then everything started becoming open world. And it's like, you lose that sort of developer player interaction because you're just building and building and building. Whereas like Doom or like a Devil May Cry, like they want you to play it a certain way and they're trying to teach you how to play it. And this isn't that, like, it's not that streamlined, but it's definitely in between. Like there are some skills, there's some stuff that you can learn here that's really good, but it doesn't have that open world bloat either of just like,
I agree.
Like, oh my God, like there's just, I'm never going to finish this. Like I either have to force myself and go forward, but then those games always lose me. Assassin's Creed always lose me because I always feel like when I'm going around looking for stuff, I'm never finding anything good. And if I am, I've just spent 50 hours and I still have another 100 hours to go. And like,
exactly.
I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So this is splitting that to where it's got a little bit more finesse, a little bit more, you know, TLC for the player because it doesn't have that giant, you know, scope of it. And that's, we need to get back to this. Like we have enough of the other stuff. Like, yeah, it's, this is made
I'm
for me.
This
though. Is made for me basically.
Clearly. Yeah. I'm surprised that because of all of what you said, that there isn't more of those. And again, now that I've played the game, I know it's not a direct comparison, but because of all what you said, I'm just surprised that there aren't more of those moments that are looking for you.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I love the moments where you look for things and you discover things, but there needs to be more moments where it discovers you. This game really, this team really should have added that, those moments where like for example, like when I was at Comic-Con, like not last year but the year before, there was someone dressed as one of the Skyrim guards, no, Oblivion guards, and people were talking about it, and I had one conversation like offhand just going, hey dude, you remember like when the Thief's Guild first showed up and like in your sleep,
right,
and he woke you up and all that stuff? I'm like, yeah, that was cool. Like, we all have that shared experience. This game is small enough, like to what you said, was like you could have tailored stuff like that, like into this game. Like, you know, like it's more of those highway robberies, those more of those just
yeah, what,
hey,
what,
you there.
What
you know?
Yeah, what I'll say is there is some of it. And I'm with you that it's not, there's not enough.
It's
of
not
it.
Their focus.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I'm not taking a point away for that, but
no, I'm with you.
Just
and like
going through it, I wanted some more of that.
That was kind of my thing that I didn't like about Outer Worlds, and was that like while it was more contained, like it really just felt like a better Fallout to me, but it still wasn't a perfect Fallout. Like it doesn't have that TLC to where like, hey, you remember this quest? You know, like I couldn't tell you
right.
a single.
I agree.
I couldn't tell you a single quest in yeah. Outer Worlds. Couldn't tell you a single one.
I agree.
I could tell you something about it, but I also just played it. So like, but there is a couple of those. What I'll say is like, there are some secret quests and there are secret quests that are, what's the word I want to hear, say here. It's, you have to be paying attention, but the thing is most people are going to miss that. And that's where, you know, that's where that Guild Wars Baldur's Gate 3 shines, is it's got a ton of those handcrafted moments. But that also took him 7 years to build, you know? So I get why they didn't do it, but.
Shout out Kingdom Come 2.
Yeah.
Shout out, like yeah. Another good one.
So.
I think it's released.
But yeah, so when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, I think it's fair to say we're on the same page, but one is just a softer, you should play it than the other.
Yeah, like you definitely should play it. You're gonna have more fun than I am. It's gonna be the best game that we pass that I personally don't identify with, but I think it's polished enough around all of its edges where everyone's gonna get some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's Part of it's your expectations, you know, like you said, it's, I've been looking it up and like, I think when the game first was announced, it was sort of, I still can't find anything where Obsidian says this is their Skyrim, but it got sort of labeled as that. But as the game was coming out, they definitely did say like, this is not open.
Did Microsoft say it?
I can't find it, but I could, okay. I could see it. But again, the internet is going to run with it kind of thing. But yeah, we'll see. So yeah, the Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is an interesting one that I don't know if I'll ever get to. It's a little too big for me, but from what I understand, like that's kind of a, it's a unique one, you know, like it's not a Skyrim. It's not a, you know, Witcher.
That one's great.
It's its own thing.
That one's absolutely phenomenal. Whatever game that is, I have to sing its praises.
Yeah. And that one, you want to talk about a heavy game. From what I understand, that game is just as heavy. Like the recommended specs are like a 4080 or something crazy like that. So
it's getting out of control, guys. I'm not buying a 50 series. I'm not doing it, so I don't care.
4070 Ti should be more than enough. So, but yeah, so there it goes. Avowed, play it, have some fun with it, pass it on. Man, it's been a while since we've passed on a Microsoft game, isn't it? So on that topic though, like Obsidian has been MVP for Microsoft, right? Like.
Oh, absolutely.
It's kind of yeah, nuts. So, and with the announcement,
yeah, I mean them and id, but it only does do
right. And so they're,
I count it,
they're just now, you know, getting to their first game because Doom Eternal came out the same year that the deal closed. So like,
okay, right.
So like, does that count? Kind of.
Nah, it kind of.
Yeah. So, but Doom the Dark Ages will be, but we fully expect them to hit, you know, that. But with the news that Fable got delayed out of this year. I mean, so what, it's going to be, Expedition 33 is a Game Pass game. It is not a Microsoft game. They also announced that, what's the name of that game? I can't remember the name of it. No, Ninja Gaiden 4 will be a Game Pass game, but again, not their game, but they're publishing it kind of thing. So like, again, like when it gets to that, what constitutes as a first party title, like what constitutes as a Game Pass game? Like, I think this year is still going to be strong without Fable. But them losing Fable like leaves a huge hole in their holiday from them specifically. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to fill that or what it gets filled with, basically. So, but all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. When it comes to the future, I'm currently scheduling an episode with a friend for Crash Team Racing. We're going to be talking about that. And then what are you playing over there?
I'm playing Warhammer. Warhammer 40K, the name, what's the
Rogue Trader.
Yeah, that's man, can we talk about that one?
We're losing him. We lost him, guys. What,
wait, am I still here? Am I still here? Yeah, hello, yeah. Mic check. One, two.
No, I meant no, we lost him. We lost you to Warhammer.
No, I'm serious. If anyone is into Warhammer lore, please let me know if I need to go down this rabbit hole, because I might be digging this one, and I didn't know. I don't know about Warhammer's lore like that. So I might be in. I might buy some miniatures soon.
Hey, I'm Space Marine. Space Marine is my Warhammer. That's the only one that I played, and the only one that I care about. No, but since you're playing it, I need to at least give it a download. And you know, typically we try to do that, but if not, we'll just do a single episode for each of us, kind of thing. So, but other than that, like Avowed is, I'm going to finish Avowed. So I'm going to be putting some time into that. And then when it comes,
I will finish it eventually. It's not high on my list. Like, yeah. I mean, and again, no disrespect on that, but like the gameplay is good enough to come back to. Just like, it's not high on my list. I will say Bellatro just dropped on Game Pass. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
We could talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we need to, we could do an episode on that one, I guess, but guess what? It's good. So
yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
there was actually quite a few games that were announced that I'm actually kind of interested in. Did you know that there's a Moonlighter 2 coming out?
Moonlighter 2?
Correct.
The movie about the gay black man?
No. The one where you play as the shopkeeper, like the Zelda looking one, and then you would go.
Oh, that yeah, thing.
We played that. I think that was like one of our first games we ever played. There's a
wait,
sequel.
We played that?
Yeah, there's a sequel coming out, and it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, so that was cool. And then they also announced, what's it called? I'm blanking on the name of it. What the heck is it called? What is it called? I can't remember. Give me a second. I'm going to find it. 33 Immortals. 33 Immortals is that game where it's like 33 players online. Oh. Co-op, so that's coming out in March. Bellatro already just came out. And then there's a bunch of indie stuff that's coming that looks pretty good. So we played Descenders, the first one. We did not like it.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Are you sure?
Yes. It just wasn't done. Or you know what? What was that other snowboarding game? Maybe I'm thinking of that one.
Oh, okay, okay. It's a snowboarding game. Yeah. Okay.
Can't remember what it's. I feel like we did.
We did play one. Yeah. We definitely did.
Oh, that was called Shredders. Okay, so that was different.
Yeah.
No, we never played Descenders. We played Shredders. That game was not good. But that's coming to Game Pass. And then there's a bunch here that I've never even heard of. Let's see. Yeah. So, but yeah, just a couple announcements that I thought were worth talking about. The big one was Moonlighter 2, because I really liked that game. So I'm curious how this one's going to play. I didn't even know it existed. So that's cool that it'll be on Game Pass, though. So. All right, we've been talking too long. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game of some kind.
Good day, sirs.